Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of learning how to deal with grief, guilt, and regret. The sorrow that we experience when we lose someone dear to us or when we make decisions and choices that produce negative consequences that we can't undo. And for the past couple of days, we've been looking at two examples in Scripture that were recorded to give us hope in these kinds of situations. Examples of people who lost loved ones dear to them and got through the grief. Examples of people who made sinful choices but got through the guilt and regret through the hope that they have in God. Now, we left off yesterday talking about David. David orchestrated the death of Uriah, husband of Bathsheba, a woman who became pregnant with David's child due to an affair, and the child then died as a consequence of his sin. And we ask the question, David eventually came to his senses. You remember the prophet Nathan went before him. He lived a year with this, apparently no problems with what he had done, and Nathan went to him and told the story of somebody in David's kingdom who had a little sheep he dearly loved, and a wealthy man who had more sheep than he knew what to do with came and took that man's lamb. And David was enraged when he heard this, and he said, "That man's going to pay for what he's done." And Nathan pointed a finger at him and said, "David, that man is you. You took something dear to somebody who you have everything you want, everything you could possibly want, and you took something dear from someone who that's all he had." And David recognized his sin, was deeply grieved over his sin, mourned it, repented over it, but he lost his son as a result. How do you deal with this? This kind of guilt, this kind of regret and sorrow. His failure before God, the loss of his son. He can't undo any of his actions. If he focuses on, if only I hadn't done this, if only I hadn't done that, that's not going to produce anything positive. It'll actually be completely counterproductive. It'll take him into despair. He can only look to God in the present moment and find hope in the future. And that's exactly what he did. David's failures were sinful in that he murdered and committed adultery. And they were relational as well. He harmed his wife through the loss of her husband and the child she had with him. It interfered with his relationship with the Lord. David, a man after God's own heart. His choices robbed his infant son of life in this life. How did he deal with that? Well, in regard to the child's life, David said, "He can't come back to me, but I'll go to be with him." 2 Samuel 12:23. David had hope in the midst of sorrow because he knew there's more to life than just this life. And he knew there would be a reunion with his child one day. When David died and was reunited with that child did not meet his father with, "How could you have done this to me?" See, I've had people say that to me who've maybe experienced the loss of someone and their relationship was strained or even broken when the death occurred. I've had people say they're not really looking forward to going to heaven because they don't want to see this person again. They don't know. In fact, I read a story not too long ago about a guy who murdered his mother, but then he became a committed, sincere Christian. So the next time he sees his mother, he's going to see the mother he murdered, and he had great concern over that. But the Bible addresses this issue. We find out from Scripture, Hebrews 12:23, that heaven is populated by spirits of just men made perfect. People are perfected in heaven. Just men now made perfect. Righteous men now made perfect. I said spirits made perfect, but it's righteous men made perfect. Upright men now at last enjoying fulfillment of their hopes. That's how Goodspeed translates that verse. We said earlier in the week, it's part of God's plan of salvation to remove every effect of sin from his entire creation. Perfected people have the pain, the anger, the anguish of wrongs done to them removed from them in heaven. If you can get rid of them in this life, yay. But if you don't, they'll be removed in heaven. So you remember in Luke 15, when Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son, he told it as a picture of heaven's response to a wayward son coming home. You may recall the son of a wealthy man took his inheritance early and left home and spent it all on wild, sinful living. When he finally woke up in the pig pen, eating pig food, he repented of his sin and returned to his father. And he had a speech of, all prepared, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you, Father. I've wronged you greatly. He comes back to his father with the speech all prepared. He says, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But the father blew right by it. And he welcomed his son, cleaned him up, and had a party. See, that's a picture of heaven. There's no hint of the father dealing with his son like this. Son, how could you have done this to me? How could you have done this to me after all I did for you? What does that show us? It shows us that the hurts, pains, wrongs, and injustices of this life will be forgiven and forgotten. Now, Psalm 51 gives us great insight into David's mental processes as he dealt with his guilt over his sin and his regret over what he had done. We don't have time to read Psalm 51, but I know you've heard it. We're not going to study it in detail, but consider some key points in connection with our discussion as we bring this part of our study to a close this week. We know that David had the same kind of mental and emotional battles we all face when we do wrong. He says in verse 3, my sin is never out of my mind. My sins haunt me day and night. Can you relate to that? He tells us he confessed his sin and he looked to God to wipe it out and deliver him from the guilt. He prayed in this psalm, obliterate my transgressions, Lord. Wipe out my offenses. Wipe out all my guilt. Now, David had to know and to believe that he was cleansed by God and that God would not reject him. In verse 7, he says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be white as snow. He had to know that God would cleanse him and he had to believe it. And in verse 17, he said, you will not scorn this crushed and broken heart. He knew God would cleanse him and he knew God would restore. He had to believe it though. See, he had the same emotions, the emotions that would come up. He had to proclaim what God had done for him. David had hope in the midst of his sorrow. He prayed, restore to me the joy of my salvation. He knew his joy would be restored to him. He knew God would produce transformation in him and work out of him the ugly stuff that gave him permission to commit those horrific sins. He knew God would work good out of it all. Verse 8, thou wilt make me hear joy and gladness. Verse 9, don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Verses 12 and 13, restore to me again the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to sinners and they will return to you. See, he had hope. He had to believe God's cleansing of him, which gave him hope that good would come out of this and all would be made right. What good came out of David's sinful, regretful, guilt-worthy actions? Well, number one, his relationship with the Lord was so restored that when his next son, Solomon, was born to Bathsheba, she became pregnant, we're told in Scripture, and gave birth to Solomon. And the Bible says, this is 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 24 and 25 out of the Living Bible, the Lord loved the baby and sent congratulations and blessings through Nathan the prophet. And David nicknamed the baby Jedidiah, meaning beloved of Jehovah, because of the Lord's interest. That is such a touching detail. David and the Lord's relationship was so restored that God sent congratulations over the birth of Solomon. David's pet name for his son was beloved of Jehovah, because he knew the Lord was interested in this son who came through his union with the woman with whom he had committed adultery, whose husband he had killed. God restored that relationship. What good came out of David's sinful, regretful, guilt-worthy actions? Well, when David died, The Lord welcomed him into his heavenly home. David was reunited with his son, all forgiven and forgotten. And if Uriah went to heaven, we're not told one way or the other. We presume he was a covenant man and went to heaven. All is forgiven and forgotten. Even he didn't meet David with, "How could you do this to me?" They all had a big hug hallelujah fest. And then lastly, David's story has shown thousands of Christians through the years. Number one, the danger of taking little steps away from God. If we could do a whole lesson on this. But we see, we get wisdom from David's story. No sincere Christian wakes up in the morning and says, "Today I'm going to commit adultery and kill somebody." No sincere Christian does that. But a lot of Christians do stuff that bad. What do? They take little steps along the way, so that that final big step is no longer a big step. It's just the next little step. If you read David's story, you see that he should have gone out to fight at the time of the year that all this happened. He should have been with his men. He chose not to go. He chose not to look away from Bathsheba when he saw her bathing on the rooftop. He chose to resist the urge. He chose not to resist the urge to bring her to his home. Those little steps set the stage for the big sins of adultery and murder. We can learn from that. And then lastly, David's Psalm of Repentance has shown generations of people that a broken and contrite spirit is what the Lord desires of us in all our failures. Verse 17, broken down with sorrow for sin and humbly and thoroughly penitent. That's all God wants from you when you mess up, just to be truly sorry, and he'll help you. We're not advocating for or encouraging sinful choices, unwise actions, or living loose in this lesson. If you're looking for an excuse to sin and get away with it, it's highly likely you're not truly born again. But what we are doing is recognizing that in a sin-cursed earth populated with fallen men and women, these kinds of things happen. All of us have done things we regret, things for which we struggle with guilt. We need to learn to deal with it according to the Word of God. Confess your sin to God, believe and accept his forgiveness. If there is a relational situation that you can make right by asking forgiveness, do so. But if it's something that has happened that can't be undone for whatever reason, recognize that you're not without hope. The Bible is clear that there is restoration, recompense, and reunion in the life to come, when we are all fully perfected in heaven, that damaged relationship will be made right. We're all part of something bigger than just this life. We have a future and a hope in the life to come. In the face of your failures and regrets, don't focus on the past. Focus on the future. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.